Morning, Boker Tov. Today's Amud is Psachim. We're Psachim Davav Amud Beis. We got a little far down the Amud, actually. We're going to go back a couple lines. We're going to pick it up from my time at Rishon Gamil. I know we read that quickly yesterday, but we removed the discussion between Rishon Gamil and the Chamim. How much before Yom Tov is one supposed to be, particularly by Pesach, how much before Pesach is one supposed to be busy with Hilchas Pesach? The Chamim said 30 days before Pesach, we darshan and we deal with Hilchas Pesach, whereas Rishon Gamil said only 2 weeks before Pesach, not 30 days. We spoke yesterday, already has that jive with the Gemara at the end of Megillah, that he's supposed to deal with the Halachas Yom Tov on Yom Tov itself. We explained that that's two different, we have a few words from Beis Yosef, but the basic idea was that when it comes to the 30 days before, it's considered Shel Manyana. It's, the topic is relevant, it's not considered asking a Shaila from left field. Whereas the topic of conversation on Yom Tov specifically should be learning the sugars of Yom Tov. Okay, but we said the source of the Chama was that Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting on Pesach Rishon and telling people about Pesach Sheni. So we see 30 days before, that was the source for the Chachamim, that's 30 days. We're about to pick up from Rishon Gamil. Just one quick point, Taisus. We kind of addressed the question backhandedly yesterday, but we didn't read the Taisus inside, so you might as well read inside. The second Taisus, Taisus says, Moshe Rabbeinu is warning about Pesach Sheni, but Taisus asks the obvious question. We point out yesterday that because these people asked for Karban Pesach, there was Zeichah that the Parsha came, so to speak, through them. But it's more than that. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about it, not because of 30 days before. They asked about it. That's why he's talking about it. So what's the right ask Taisus? Answers Taisus, Mekomakim, Le'etzerich L'harech. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to lengthen. He didn't have to speak barichas about Pesach Sheni. He gave all the dinim then. He could have just said, no, you're putter now. We'll deal with you later. In 3 weeks from now, we'll deal with you. What are you going to do about Pesach Sheni? Right? Ella, La'altasa Pesach. He could have just said, you can't do a Pesach. You're far away, or you're tummy. You can't do a Pesach. Vesulay didn't have to say more. The fact that he elaborated more now, he chose now to elaborate more, shows the idea of 30 days before. Okay, that's Taisus Teretz. Back in the order. So we're coming to explain in Reb Shimon ben Gamil, how do we know that it's 2 weeks before? My time to Reb Shimon ben Gamil. What's the source of Shimon ben Gamil? This is about 7 lines to the top of the page. First word of the line is Sharei. Sharei, Meisha Eimib Resh Chedesh. Meisha Eimib Resh Chedesh. Meisha Eimib Resh Chedesh. I'm warning about the Karm Pesach. Giving the instructions about Karm Pesach. Shnei Mar Chedesh Azel Lechem Resh Chedashim. Lusid Abba Bnei Yisrael. Lein Mar Besel Chedesh Azel Yivichul Chem. Ish Sela Beis Ovis. Each person should take a Sela Beis Ovis. So that's the mitzvah of taking the Karm Pesach. And we know, of course, to take it on the 10th day. You take the Karm Pesach ready to have a couple days of beaker. Fine. But that was Shabbos HaGadol back in Mitzrayim. Shabbos HaGadol was on the 10th day. But my debris shachakai. So the bar is 1 second. So the source is that on Rish Chedesh, warning for Yudalad, which is Erev Pesach, it's 2 weeks. My yes, the Gemara. How do you know the Rish Yarcha Koy? How do you know Meshav Ben was sitting on Rish Chedesh? Tumah Barba Biyarcha Ebechamishik Biyarcha Koy. Meshav Ben says this Chedesh is Rish Chadashim, and then he says, and take for yourself an animal. Maybe it was the fourth of the month. He's saying this is the month is the first of all months, and take for yourself an animal 5 days from now, in 10 days from now. How do you know it's Rish Chedesh when this story took place? Ella, by the way, side point, total side point. But a Chedesh Hazeh Lechem Rish Chadashim. That means Nisan's the first month. That's you know the year starts. The calendar, when we talk about the year, it starts for Rosh Hashanah, which is Tishrei. But the months of the year, the first month in the calendar, the Jewish calendar, of course, is Nisan. Some place come to say that based on this pasuk, it's actually a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv, that we should only refer to the first month as Nisan. And therefore, you shouldn't refer to, in modern day terms, let's say January, people write on a check, or they write on a date, a piece of paper, they'll write month number one all the time. You write the first month, whatever date, whatever year, you shouldn't write month number one, even though obviously you're counting to the Goyish account, you're just going to their account, but people try to avoid. I used to do this whenever I wrote the date numbered. If you write the name out, some people say it's better. You write the name out, it's better. Others say it's worse because the names are after idolatrous gods. But the point is, if you don't write the name out and just write the number, some people write on the side, or they say the word, or they write lemisparim to their count. I used to make like a lamed. I don't know where I got it from, to make like a lamed at the end, like a lamed at the end of the date, which is funny. I tried doing that on a check, it looks a little funny, but I used to make a little mark at the end of the date just because of this idea that according to some, you're not supposed to call the months of the year based on the first month is Dafka, especially the first month. Dafka Nisma, who had done all the months, the number of the months should be based on the terrorist count, not based on any other count. Okay, but the point is that how do you know it's the Rish Chedesh? Maybe it was ready in the middle of the month, and you don't have 2 full weeks. Elam Rabbi Ravina, Mehacha, the source is for the next pasuk. Ve'idaber Hashem Moshe for the following pasuk. Ve'idaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'shana she'inis b'chodesh Rishon. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the Midbar Sinai in the second year in the b'chodesh Rishon, the first month. Uchsiv Yasu b'nei Yisrael sa'pasach b'moyadayim. Again, Hachanan Ma'ad b'Yisrael Chakoy. Very nice that he got the warning on the in the first month about the Pesach. Who says it was the first day of the month? Tilma ba'ar b'yachav v'chemish Chakoy. Maybe it was the fourth or fifth day of the month. Amar Nachman Reitzlok. Ice in Midbar. We make Xer Shav in Midbar from Midbar. Ksiv Hachav Midbar Sinai. Ksiv Asav Yidaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Almeid. Be'echad l'chaydish Hasheni. It says Lashon of Be'echad l'chaydish Hasheni. That's clearly the first day of the month. That's Rosh Chodesh. So Mal Halam Rosh Chodesh. Just like the word Midbar over there means Rosh Chodesh. So to Avir Afkan it means Rosh Chodesh. Ask the Gemara. This is what kind of why I just recorded this past 5, 6, 7, 8 lines, because the Gemara is really going to continue on a really not related to our topic, but it's going to digress talking about these same psukim. If you're following the psukim we just quoted, if first has the psukim about chedesh sheni and then the pasuk chedesh rishon, it's out of order. Shouldn't you put chedesh rishon first and then chedesh sheni second? Amar Rav Nachman b'techiv m'shved Rav. This is a famous klal in Shas, Zeis Ameris, or in Torah. Ein muktim u'me'ucha b'teira. This is a riot to the concept that we say there's no muktim u'me'ucha b'teira. The Torah is not written in chronological order, right? The Torah, just because it's written something first and then something afterwards, it doesn't mean that that was the order that transpired chronologically. The order could be the Torah could be written out of order of time. Now, why is that, by the way? Why is the Torah not written in chronological order? So the Tesis Rebbeinu Peretz brings this is more of a Dehavina idea from Rebbeinu Yechiel, that the Torah is ridiculously powerful. The Torah has crazy powers. And if the Torah is written in the proper order, even ordinary people can make, I think the Lashon is they can go and make galems. They can go, ordinary people could read Psukim of the Torah and make galems. By having it out of order, somehow, I can't say I understand this, somehow that doesn't make the Torah less, not so powerful per se, or not so lofty, but it takes away the ability for the average person to use Psukim and Torah Shemus and do powerful things with it. That's what the Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz brings from Rabbeinu Yechiel. The Tosfos Chachmei Angli brings from Yerushalmi, a totally different angle, that we know the Kohen gets the first Aliyah. Kohen gets the first Aliyah. A Kohen gets the first Aliyah, may get a little bit of a gaiva. He gets the first Aliyah. But now that it's out of order, so you get the first Aliyah. It's not really the first Aliyah, which is, you have to, again, it seems to be a cutesy svara, because it's still the first Aliyah. At the end of the day, it's the first Aliyah. But the point is, it's not necessarily what happened first. So therefore, maybe it takes me a little from the gaiva. As again, takes us back to Engli, bringing for the Yishalmi. Bali Musa say, Al-Dech Musa, certainly the Apshah in the Gemara, but I must say, Ein Muktim U'mucha B'Torah. Some people think, if I would have learned when I was a Bachar in Yeshiva, if I would have learned when I was growing up, if I would have learned when I was a young man in Kehillah, but I would have had more of a foundation of learning. I'd be able to learn better now that I'm older, now that I'm in my later years. But to start learning now, to start learning B'iyah, to start, no. Ein Muktim U'mucha B'Torah. There's no thing is too late. When it comes to Torah, no Muktim, there's no thing too early, no thing is too late. A person always has the way to learn. Again, that's obviously much more Derech Drush, but a nice idea. Fine. So says the Gemara now, Ein Muktim U'mucha B'Torah. Now the Gemara gives a qualification to that. Amar Papa Le'amar and El Betrein Yani. This that we say in Muktim U'mucha B'Torah is in two separate inyanim. So one inyan could be written first, and then the second inyan, and the second inyan really transpired first. That's fine. Av b'chad inyan within one inyan, then avad there is a chronological order. Av b'chad inyana ma'ida muktim muktim ma'ida muktim muktim. Within one inyan, what was first will be written first, and what is second will be written second. It is going to be in chronological order. And the Rabbi is a proof to the Silatim Machi, because if you don't say this, Kal Prat, every time you have a Kal Prat, what's the idea? You have a klal, a generalization, a prat, and then a klal, which sometimes, by the way, it depends on Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, if you darshan klal prat, a klal, if you darshan rebay, meet rebay. But same, it's usually the same type of wording. It's the same exact wording that is darshan. You have generalizations and specifications. The order, whether it's a klal prat or klal, whether it's a klal prat, whether it's a prat or klal, the order is very integral to know what came first, the prat or klal. But if you tell me it's not in chronological order anyway, so then maybe it shouldn't be a klal prat or klal. Says the Gemara, let's say a case of klal prat. The rule over there is when you have a klal prat, we say the prat is totally restricting the klal to be whatever's like the prat. Maybe Dilma Prat HaKlal, though. Maybe it's opposite. Maybe it's really Prat HaKlal. Vesu, Prat HaKlal. When you have a Prat HaKlal, Nasa Klal Meisif HaPrat. When you have a Prat HaKlal, the rule is that the Klal is Meisif on the Prat. Adraba, Dilma Klal Pratu. Maybe when you have a Prat HaKlal, maybe it's really Klal Pratu. It should be only like the Prat. Meaning, if the order is not the right order within one Parsha, then L'Chaira, you wouldn't be able to make this Klal Prat. So it must be within one Parsha itself. We say that the order is correct, and therefore you can make your Klal Prat and your Prat HaKlal. Says the Gemara, 1 second. But Ihachi, I feel betrayed in Yoninami. According to your logic, then once you're out of order, you're messing up your Klal Prats, so then even in two separate Yonim, it should be a problem. Meaning, Hani, Flamanda, Klal Prat, Meruchakim. If you hold the name of the Kalaprat, that's far from each other. Far doesn't have to be very far. It just means once it's separate in Yanim, right? If it's separate topics, you don't make Kalaprat. Once it's already separate topics, it's very Gishmak. Within one topic, everything's always in order. Make Kalaprat a Klal. Within two separate parashas, it can be out of order. And we talk, don't make Kalaprat a Klal in separate parashas. Eleman, number of court opinion, done in, it says even in separate parashas, separate in Yanim, separate topics. We do make Kalaprat a Klal. Michael Lememer, why talk, don't have an issue again of Emuk to Mocher? So says Mar, even according to the Mandarman says that we make a cloud part of cloud when the Meruchakim Zemzeh, Meruchakim just means distance. Distance doesn't mean separate parsha. So if you have a long parsha of 30, 40 psukim, you can have a cloud part of cloud spread out throughout the parsha, right? But if it's a separate parsha totally, you don't make a cloud part of cloud, even according to the opinion of Meruchakim. So basically, what saying is everyone agrees in separate and yanim, you don't have a cloud part of cloud from two separate and yanim, two separate topics, and therefore fits very well that within one parsha, you have Mukdam is Mukdam and Mukh is Mukher. Everything isn't indeed in chronological order, and therefore it's okay that we can make Kal Parts of Kal within separate topics. Over there, we say that it's the Ein Mukdam Mukher, and therefore we talk a. I don't want to say therefore, but the rule happens to be with the separate parshas, we don't say Kal Parts of Kal anyway either, so therefore there's no issue. There's a big question, which I'm sure is bothering some of you, Achorinim ask it. I don't know the Teretz clear, but the Achorinim, Rabbi Chanan, and others deal with this question, and that is very simple that even if you say Ein Mukdam Mukher Matarah, the Torah Lamaisa chose to write it this way. And once Moshe Rabbeinu was given, and it was written, everyone again to Moshe Rabbeinu and Shemayim, the Torah came down to us this way, right? It was written by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe was there. For whatever reason, Ein Mukdam Mukher, why it's not being in order, it was still written this way. If it's written this way, I can actually call it a cloud. What's the kasha? Just because Ein Mukdam Mukher Matarah, so therefore what happened first was written second, so it changes the prat to be before the cloud. No! Cloud part of cloud is based on the mice, the way that we got the Torah, the way we received it, the way it's written. And it's just about Tasha Cloud part of cloud. The Achorinim certainly asked the Kasha. I don't remember offhand any clear answer that was better than the Kasha itself. A very, very strong Kasha on this, on the Al-Khur, on this Gemara's Raya. On this whole Shakar Matarah of connecting Cloud part of cloud to Ein Mukdam Mukher. Amar Avihuda Amarav. Habaydik, back to Dinam of Dika. Habaydik, one of those B'dika, Tzarech Shivatel. Still needs to do Bittel. Remember, we asked that Beis Menachem for the first word of Mesechta. One who is Mechlev to do B'dika, we ask, why do B'dika? Just do Bittel, right? And here the Gemara says the opposite direction, that one of those B'dika still has to be Vatel. My Taima, ask the Gemara, why does he do Bittel? Inei Mishim Pirun, if it's because there's crumbs, that he certainly missed some crumbs. Halachashivi, the crumbs are not Chashiv. They're not Chashiv. You don't have to be Vatel them. They're Bittel by themselves. Just because they're in the house, they're brato. Maybe you say, since they're protected. Since they're guarded along with the rest of his possessions of his house, it becomes chashiv, and therefore they're considered, they have status. For Tanya, but we learn not like that. We learned in the Brice as follows, Sufi Tainim, the unripe figs that are on the trees at the end of the harvesting of the figs. Or Mishamer, Sudeim, and these unripe figs that remained on the tree left on because they weren't ripe and he finished the harvest. And he's only watching the field, not because of these figs. He's watching the field to protect from the grapes that the harvest didn't happen yet. Or opposite, Sufi and Avim, or he's at the end of the, well, not because the opposite, because I guess the harvest of the figs is, I guess, chronologically before the grapes. The harvest of the grapes took place. There's still unripe grapes that left on the tree because they just weren't ripe yet. So he didn't has no interest in taking them off. So basically, they're hefker. There's presumably he's not makron on them. But he is watching the field. Why? Not because of the grapes, but because of the gourds and the squash. So in both these cases, he's not watching the figs for the figs. He's watching because of the grapes. Not watching the grapes for the grapes. He's watching because of the gourds. So what's the halacha about these leftover unripe figs or grapes? If he's talking makron on them, then asur b'shul gezel. Then avad that's asur gezel. V'chayv meiser, and he's got to take meiser on them as regular dinim of regular produce that belongs to him. If he's not makron on them, mutar b'shul gezel. It's a meiser. It's mutar. It's not issue of gezel. And it's putter for meiser. The idea is hefker. He's not makron on them. It's being watched. It's not really being watched. He's watching the field for other stuff. So the point is, even something within a watched field, if the intent is not to watch this, it's not called being watched. It's still called Hefker. So back to these Pirurin, what are we going to say? There's crumbs there? Crumbs he's not makbar on. He has a protected house, and the house protects it, but he's not protecting the crumbs. He's protecting the other stuff in the house, and therefore the crumbs are still Hefker, they're still nullified, and therefore it should not be an issue. So why on earth are we doing Bittel after B'dika was done? Says the Gemara Amarava, same idea that we said in Daf Beis. We're scared that maybe he missed a real nice piece of bread, a nice roll. He missed a nice roll, the daite eluye, and his mind will be on it. Meaning, he's going to have to see a nice roll. He won't be mevatalit right away. His midasa is going to be on it, and that's a problem. So he did a bedika, but maybe there's a nice roll that isn't automatically nullified. It won't be immediately nullified once he comes upon it, and it'll be over on possessing by Rabbi Yamatza of chametz. Over here, the chayyim, everyone agrees. This is, remember, in the Mishnah we discussed Rashi taste, whether it concerns using it. The reason why I have to do bedika is because if you do bedika alone, you may come to find chametz and eat it. We said according to Tosfos, according to Rashi, it's by Rabbi Yamatza. You may come to possess chametz. We had a whole discussion back then, Lamedus, if the issue is possessing the chametz or eating the chametz, and we may tell you, we'll actually get back to it in a minute. We'll speak out again, a chazara of that debate, whether how bitta works. But before that, the point is, over here, everyone agrees the issue is clearly without bittel, it's by Rabbi Yamatza. Daite Eluye, his das is on it, and therefore it'll be a problem of being significant chametz that he owns, which is an isser by Rabbi Yamatza possessing chametz. Says, "What do you mean? Why can he be bittel right when he finds it? Why does he have to be bittel before Yom Tov? He did bedika. Your skin is going to find the roll. The second he finds it, be bittel then." Says, "My dumb shkach slay lebasa isura. Maybe at the time he finds it, it's already shas isser. The lab rishus akayme, and once it's shas isser, big yisayin chametz is not a rishus. Since chametz like aser bahana on Pesach, it's as if it's not a rishus. I have the power to be bittel it. For the matzav bittel, I can't be bittel. Damar blazer. Shnei dvar main rishus shadim. Two things are not in the person's rishus. Vasna kasher kilu rishusay. Two things are not in a person's possession. Yet the Torah makes it as if it's in his possession. Beiluhin. These are the two items. Bar rishus rabim. If he digs a pit rishus rabim, it's not his rishus rabim. Does not belong to him. But because he dug the pit, he's achroy for the damage. It's as if it's his rishus. And similarly, chametz b'sheish shas lamala. Chametz 6 hours on, where it's usher, then I tell you the chametz usher. From 6 hours on, it's not as rishus since it's usher. It's usher by no, it's not as rishus. Yet we make it like it's rishus, and we make him over by Rabbi Yamatza. That's the idea. Affecting are fine. So be mevatlet. But why? The understanding is you do bedika and a bedik. So shevatlet b'shas bedika, which is what we do after the bedika. We do a bittel. Why do bedika? Why do a bittel after bedika? Do a bittel the next day on Erev Pesach by day. Vinevatlet ba'arba vinevatlet chamesh by the fourth or fifth hour of the day. Answers the Gemara simple. Kim lasman esuruhu. It's not a time of it's the fourth or fifth hour is nishta nishta hair. At the time of bedika, you're doing an action. You remember then to establish a bittel. At the time of burning, you could do a theoretically you could do a bittel, but the fourth fifth hour it's not zman of iser, it's not zman bayura, it's not zman of bir chametz. Tilma pashav emala, you'll forget and you won't nullify it. Okay, effectively more top zayin emalaf. Then about the b'shis, so let him be mevatel chametz at the sixth hour where the rabbanon at least already say it's usser. The rabbanon say the end of the sixth you have to burn has to be gone on the rice level, but at the beginning of the sixth the rabbanon already made their iser, so let that be the time to do bittel. Answers the gemara, keep this rabbanon luye kiderais adami v'abshusikay v'amatzavate. The same way once it's already in the sixth hour. Once it's ready after 6 hours, it's awesome to tell you, and no longer is Rishus Mibatalit. Midrabbanan, that the Issa starts at the beginning of the 6 hour, Midrabbanan, the Issa starts at the beginning of the 6 hour, it's also not as Rishus, because we, the Rabbanan mimic the Derisa, Kain Derisa, and therefore, and he won't be able to battle it. To Amrav, you know, we've been being a proof to this idea that the Chum treat the Chametz even in the 6 hour as if it's already at his Rishus. To Amrav, Gidom, Rav Chiyom, Brayesav, Amrav, Hamakadav Sheshas Lamala, one who's Makadash Nisha with Chametz in the 6 hour and on. Afil Bechite Kundaisa, even with Kita Kedaisa, it's a certain type of wheat that takes a long time for it to be machmas, to become chametz. Ain chayish in the kedushin, unbelievable. Since the rabbanon are treating it like chametz from the 6 hour, the same chametz, I said not treating it chametz. Since the rabbanon are saying chametz is usher from the beginning of the 6 hour, even though the midrash says not, if a guy's makadosh's wife with that chametz, they're not married. Aye, what are you going to ask? That's a very scary situation. Midraisa, chametz isn't usher yet. So midraisa, the kedushin's chal. And the rabbanon saying kedushin's not chal? Isn't that a very bad scenario that she's going to be Eishes Ish on a derisive level and she's going to marry someone else because her abundance says Nachal? So Rashi brings, of course, the famous idea that in many places in Shas we have this idea and we say, called the Kamakadish. A daita drabanan makadish. Wherever someone is makadish, they do kedushin. A daita drabanan, and the rabbanan can do hefka bez hefka on the monetary value of this kedushin that the husband gave the wife, and therefore kedushin is not going to rabbanan uproot the kedushin over there as well. Okay, says Gemara. Still, is that so that she can't be vatalay after shas iser? But we have a brisa seems to say like that. Time you look at a hayesh base medrash. The guy sitting and learning in base medrash. Viniska sheish chametz v'seich base and he remembers. Oy, he has chametz in his house. Mevatalay believe he can vatalay chametz in his heart. Echab shabbos echab yamtiv. Whether shabbos yamtiv, just mevatalay chametz in his heart to say that this won't belong to him. Now echab yamtiv echab shabbos. What's the case of shabbos? Shabbos can make sense. It could be erev Pesach. It could be we're trying to make a proof that you can mevatalay chametz even if there's man iser. Bishlam and shabbos mishachas lakan shachal b'asliyas b'shabbos. Erev Pesach fell on shabbos. Famous scenario. Many different halachas that apply. So he's sitting in shul. Mevatel b'libay. That's fine. It's prior to Pesach, prior to the Isser b'chal. All good. El yamtiv. What does it mean yamtiv? It means it's Pesach already. Bas v'siru. It's ready after the Isser was chal. It's ready yamtiv. And he's saying he's sitting in Beis Medrash. Mevatel the chametz. Clearly, mevatel the chametz even after yamtiv. even though it's ready usher, our whole premise is wrong. No. Hacha b'tam yeshu fnei rabbi skinu, talking about Talmud sitting in front of his rebbe. V'niska sheyesh isimugu galus b'sech beisai. This is a Talmud sitting in front of his rebbe's learning, and he can't leave. That's the point. He doesn't want to leave the learning. He doesn't want to get up and leave learning. And he remembers he has dough that he may need in the house, and he forgot, didn't bake it yet. Right? This sounds like it's a dangerous, slippery slope on Pesach. But theoretically, you can make dough and bake it within 18 minutes. And whatever this amount of chametz is, if you keep working it, it could be longer. And it's not a problem of chametz, it could be matzah on Pesach. He has this dough that's not chametz yet. But the problem is, till he gets back to the base medrash, it's going to become chametz. That sounds wild because we don't do this at all. We don't get involved with this, right? Obviously. He's concerned that maybe it will become chametz. So, kadem umavatale mekamet de sachmetz. This is not us yet. He can mevatale us. He could say, I'm mevatale that dough. It's nullified to me. It's garnished. He's mevatale the dough. And therefore, won't get the sage of chametz in the first place. Deken ames takem aduik that was the case. To Tanya, yeshiv v'seichem by Spanish. Why was that relevant to the story? Why? Remember, this wasn't actual ma'aseh shaya. This was a halachic scenario. Why do we paint that scenario? Because that's the case where he can't go and make it into matzah. Sounds like if he wasn't the base medrash, he'd be able to salvage it and make it into matzah. Why can't he? Because he's preoccupied in the base medrash. So what could he do? He can vatla. But you see that one can vatla only if it didn't become chametz yet. Hayyeshiv b'beis medrash. Hayyeshiv b'seich b'beis medrash. That's the case where it didn't become chametz yet. They can vatla. Had it already become chametz, had it already been chametz, he would not be able to vatla. Shpamina. One can only be vatla chametz before it becomes usher. Once it's usher, he cannot be vatla. It's out of his rishus. He can't be vatla. It's every the iser, but he can't be vatla. Now, one quick point. If the diak over here, what was the lashon? Is he sitting in the base medrash and he remembers there's chametz in his house or about to become chametz? What should he do? Mevatlay beliblay in his heart. Mevatla beliblay. Ramban says there's a clear raya that this is not hefker. Hefker, you got to verbalize. Hefker, you have to do mafker. You have to go say, announce, and make it hefker. You have to speak, verbalize at least. I don't know if a public has to be, but you certainly have to verbalize that it's hefker. Being mevatla beliblay is a new power of bittel. We spoke out already a couple of hours ago. We spoke out that basically we referenced it again since then. That bittel is an idea that to me, it's again, some say bittel is b'tam hefker. Bittel is hefker itself. That's a sumler. Ramban's learning that. Ramban's learning bittel is its own new bear. It's its own new idea that it's nullified. It's to me, it's like afra d'alma, the lustrum that we use in Kol Chamira. It's like we actually say both. It's hefker, afra d'alma. But it's like earth. It has no value. It's no shabbos. So therefore, I don't own chametz. It doesn't belong to me because it is nothing. The Ritva argues says no. Beliba just means you have to have gemar das. Of course, we're talking about hefker. We don't mean gamar beliba. You don't say it. You verbalize it, but make sure you really mean it and be mafker. That's what beliba means, to be mafker. Again, the big nafkmina. This is what we have for the stipler back on the base nafkmina between whether it's hefker or matam bittel. Nafkmina would be: is there a bal yira by a matzah concern? Or is there, right, with the Gluski Yafa, is it by a matzah concern, or is it a concern of maybe coming to eat it? We said he won't explain that's because Rashi Tosfos back in Daf Beis, and the reason why we do B'dikah, which Rashi is by a matzah, according to Tosfos, is because of, you may come to eat it, we explain, because according to Tosfos, the bittel would be a hefker. So the question is, why do B'dikah at all? Just be mevatlet. Once you mafkir, until you reacquire it, we're not concerned. So just announce a bittel before Yom Tov, and nothing to worry about. And even if you find the skiffa, I can go be kainet on Yom Tov. No, you may come to eat it, but not going to be kainet. Which according to Rashi, a bittel is not a hefker; it's a nullification. The second I have chashivas in my mind that it's chashiv, it's no longer bittel. It has chashivas, and therefore it would be a problem of by matzah. Kshmak a chilek whether bittel is hefker or bittel is don't bear. Have a wonderful day.